Good morning, church family. How are we doing this morning? All right. If you could all stand with us, let's worship our wonderful Savior together this morning.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you made. There isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart. Here I will lift my arms and start to sing into the night. My praise will call the sun to rise, declare the battle won, declare that it is done. Before the giants, declaring victory, my God will make a way, so I am not afraid. Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley, where you won't find me, oh, I am not afraid. Declaring victory, my God will make a way, so I am not afraid.
All right, good morning, everybody. Go ahead, take a seat. We've got some quick announcements for you guys. First of all, my name's Tony. I'm one of the pastors here at West Campus. If this is your first or second time, welcome. Welcome to our family. We would love to get better connected with you guys. So we've got a table in the back of the auditorium. We also have a table outside if you guys are brave. And we've got some connection cards. We'd love for you to fill one out. Or if you don't want to write anything down, scan a QR code with your phone. You can do it all online. We'd love to connect with you in a better way. Speaking of connections, we just had campus night this week, and it was incredible. We had an awesome time. Our worship team did an incredible job bringing some energy and just praising the Lord loudly. And we did, Chet talked about some pretty cool statistics. Yeah. you guys are so generous with your money, with your time, your energy, everything. He said a weekly average, both online and in person, we're close to 400 people every weekend. Almost 200 people serve on all of the different ministries in our church, which is just absolutely incredible to me. So thank you guys so much for all that you do. If you weren't able to make it, we did record it. It's kind of was like a family conversation, so we didn't put it on Facebook, but you guys are all part of our family. If you're interested in watching it, let me know, let a staff member know, Chet, Jovan, Tina, Ashley, anybody on staff, and we'll make sure you guys get that video so you can watch it. Also, in the back on that TV is just a slideshow loop of the drafted renderings of the new campus building. So the architects, yeah, they are awesome. The architects sent us over their final drafts, so there's a pretty good chance that's what the campus is going to look like once we build it. And now my friend Aubrey has some stuff to share about a new parents ministry.
So, team night, I'm just going to echo that, was incredible. And I don't know about you guys, and I know we're all feeling it too. We are so excited for what God has in store for our church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beyond the beautiful building that he's going to provide for us, but in our ministry. You know, you've heard Jovan, you've heard Tina in our children's ministry, you've heard Chet talk about our children are our future. Mm-hmm. All right? It is up to us to invest in them as we raise sons and daughters for Christ. So we are having our very first Parents Connect ministry, and I've had some great questions, so I just want to be a little bit more clear. So those of you online, keep those questions coming, or if you're here, you can always find me after service. But this is for any parent. It doesn't matter if you have a 3-month-old at home or a 40-year-old at home. It doesn't matter. We are all given gifts, and we've all been through different journeys in our parent journey.
What about grandparents?
Right? Grandparents are more than welcome as well, because here's the thing, you guys. The whole purpose of this Parents Connect ministry is to parent beyond our capacity, meaning we've each been on separate journeys. We've all had walls that we've had to go through as parents. Oh, just wait for the sermon today, folks. Woo, it's a good one. But we've all been through different journeys, you guys. And we can all help each other. We can link arms as we raise our sons and daughters, no matter what the age. So I invite you to come. It's on the Christ Church app. It's on the Christ Church website. Yeah. You can definitely find it there. And like I said, you can find one of us up and we'll connect you. But with that being said, please stand, say hey to your neighbor, hey online family, and stand and worship with us.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high? You say And now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. You say of me, I believe, oh, I believe, yes, I believe what you say of me, I
the seas. Should I ever need reminding?
shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. So come with me in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. Another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. Joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be.
Amen, amen. Amen. Church, go ahead and be seated. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, oh, I echo the truth of that song, that in the fire there is your presence, but also through the fire, there is your promise. And so, Father, I pray that today that you would illuminate your presence within us and you would reveal your promise for us so that we can live greater and different in knowing that you are the God who is leading us in every situation in our lives. And Father, as we talk about a tough subject like today, as we talk about the difficulties, as we talk about the burdens, I pray, Lord, even in the midst of the greatest darkness, there is a light shining in it and through it and through us. So Lord, help us to receive this message, not just as information, but as inner transformation. Help us to receive this message in a way that gets us to where we actually need to be, both spiritually and emotionally and mentally and relationally as well. Lord, I believe your word can do great work. It's not how eloquent I am. It's not how prepared I am. It's not in anything else, but it's in your power and in your spirit that you can do a greater work in your sons and your daughters, and they can walk out different than how they came in. So reveal that in us today. Help us to see it, especially in the midst of our harshest and greatest pains that a lot of us are facing today. Help us to know that you're with us in the fire. If your presence is there, so are your promises. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen. Good morning. Thanks, Noah. Good morning. Give it up for the worship team. That was awesome leading us in worship. So glad to have each and every one of you guys with us. Listen, the faithful came even in the cold and the snow, y'all. So happy that you guys are with us. Isn't it like God's mad at Ohio this year? Like, it wasn't like this last year. Last year, I thought it was like 35, 20 or whatever. It's like below 6, like negative 6. It's just crazy weather, but we are glad to have you guys here with us today. We're going to be continuing in our series that we started a few weeks ago, and the title of it is Healthier. We said that this is our focus word of the year. If you're taking down notes, remember, Christians who take down notes go to heaven. If you're taking down notes, it says it, don't laugh. If you're taking down notes, God wants you and I to be healthier, because we believe that when we focus on our health emotionally, spiritually, and mentally and relationally, we become more useful for his kingdom. Well, we believe that when we become more healthier, then our families get healthier. But it starts with us, not with the people around us. It starts with the inner change, not with an outward change from other people with that expectations. So we said that this is our focus for this year, to get healthier, because God wants you and I to grow and become healthy. Before I jump into the message, let's say hello to all of our friends watching online. Say hello to our friends. The ones who couldn't make it. But anyway, just say hello to our friends. We're grateful to have you. Chet could be watching too. Chet's on absence right now. He's taking a leave of absence. I make it seem like it's bad. He's taking some time off with him and his wife, a time to breathe, a time to concentrate, to recenter. I can't wait for his message when he comes back. So Chet, if you're in the message, if you're in the chat, what's up? Glad to have you guys with us. But again, we're continuing in this series titled Healthier. But one thing that I've noticed about this series, and we're rooting it in this book that we have been reading, this book by Peter Scarzario, it's a book titled literally Emotionally and Spiritually Healthy. The one thing that I've realized from this is that I'm jacked up. Who said uh-huh? Somebody said uh-huh. Ushers, Bob, can you go get them? Thank you. Yeah, over there. The lady in the yellow. Yeah, that one. I've realized I'm jacked up. I mean, I got some problems. What I'm trying to say is I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I want to be emotionally. I'm not where I want to be mentally. There's a lot of jacked up things going on. I'm not where I want to be, but the one thing that I can be thankful of, that I'm not where I used to be. And it's only by God's grace, it's only by God's peace, it's only by God's mercy that he leads me to where I need to be, even though I'm not where I want to be. Thank God that I'm not where I used to be. But that's a part of the Christian journey, just to let everybody know. The journey is full of stages that we go through. There's going to be stages on this journey. There's going to be stages in this path, the stages that bring us happiness, but also the stages that make us mourn and grieve. There's going to be stages that you and I are going to face in our lives. And here's the premise of today's message, that every stage is God's way of forming us into our newness and who he's called us to be. That no matter what stage of life you're in, God in his faithfulness is using that very stage to form and to renew you. Because here's the one thing I want you to know. To follow Jesus means to be formed by Jesus. Jesus invites us on this journey. And as we walk with him on this journey, we are learning new things. We are becoming new. We are growing in certain areas that we need to grow in. And it takes certain stages. It takes certain paths in order to do that. Because God wants to do a great work in you. Did you know God's heart for you is that you would mature? Can I tell you that right now? God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay immature. So what does he want to do? He wants to mature us. And he does that through the stages in our lives, especially the stages of difficulty. Or we will say it today, the stages where we face walls in our lives. Some of you are facing some walls today, some real difficulty. As a matter of fact, can I just tell you, can I just be honest with you, remind you two things? Number one, that's the Christian life. You're going to have some difficulty, and we all know this, but it's the one thing to know it, and it's another thing when you actually experience it. You're like, oh my gosh, this is here. Like, why am I going through this? What's going on? But that's a stage where not only that it's just naturally going to come, but also it's a stage that God's going to naturally develop you. But God's going to do the great work in you, because here's the one thing I want you to know. In the difficulty, in the walls, in the discomfort, in the ugliness, God does his best work in you. God does his best work in you. It said it in the song, in the darkness, there's a great light that shines. And sometimes that light we have a greater attention to because of the darkness that is surrounding us today. I want to help paint this picture of the journey of the Christian walk. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Anybody got their Bibles? Who's got their Bibles with them today? Physical Bible. That's my peoples. Look at y'all. We're getting better. The rest of you need to repent. There's an altar call after. I got a lot of scripture I'm reading today. So if you want to mark it in your Bibles, or mark it on your device. If you want to mark it in your Bibles, we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Philippians chapter 4. I told you, it's a lot, y'all. And then we're going to Matthew 26. That's going to be towards the end. And I want to help give you kind of what that Christian life looks like. That you're going to experience some delays, some detours. You're going to experience some moments where you're stagnant and stuck. You're going to experience some moments where you're satisfied. You're going to experience some moments where you're safe and secure. And then it's going to be the opposite after that. The Apostle Paul, who a lot of us know about, is one of the key essential pieces to our Christian faith. This man, if some of you don't know, the Apostle Paul was once a man who hated Christians. If you hate Christians, you're going to get company because the Apostle Paul one time did. He was against Christianity. He was against the movement. But then one day, God's grace knocked him off his horse, because that's what grace does. It knocks you off your feet. God's grace brings you to the ground. God's grace humbles you. And God's grace knocked him off this horse. And then he went from being against Christians to being for Christians. And God sent him on his path. You can read about it in the scriptures. He had amazing moments in his life. And you and I want to live for those amazing moments, right? We want epic scenes and we want epic stages to happen. We want to be useful and we want to be happy. But can I just tell you and remind you, one of the greatest men in history, not Christian history, history, historians, and even philosophers highly regard the Apostle Paul. One of the greatest men in history had difficulty. He had difficulty. He had walls. I want to read about some of those walls right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what he says. Chapter 6, verse 4. He says, rather, as servants of God, meaning somebody who has identified himself with the will and the work of God, somebody who is on fire to preach and to teach and to lead the church into greater places, to lead God's message and the gospel that he has entrusted to him. He says, as a servant of God, we commend ourselves in every way, meaning this is what we experience. This is what our journey is like. This is what it looks like to follow God. Look what he says. He says, in great endurance. Paul says, we have had to endure some things. We didn't expect it, but it happened. We didn't anticipate it, but it came. We sometimes didn't prepare for it, but it just came through. Paul says, we've had to experience a lot of enduring. We've had to endure troubles, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments. We're going to talk about that passage in just a little bit. Imprisonments and riots and labor, sleepless nights and hunger. Yo, this is the Apostle Paul. He's supposed to be doing awesome things. But here he is. He's saying, listen, I've been through some crap in my life. He says, I've had moments where I've been thirsty and hungry physically. And some of us have been there spiritually and emotionally. He said, I've had moments where I had very little. He says, on this journey, man, I had these moments. But I learned, did you catch what he says? I learned to endure it. Because that's the stage God brings into our lives so that you and I will become greater, better, and healthier. Paul says, I had a lot of wins. Paul's had a lot of wins, but he's also had a lot of walls. He's had a lot of wins, but he's also had a lot of walls. The walls that we face in our lives is probably the most important stage of our lives. Can I tell you that right now? The wall that you are facing is probably the most important place. Why? Because it sets your trajectory for the future of who you will eventually become and what you eventually trust in. The wall is setting up for this future for either a better self or a self that's immature. And God brings you and I walls. Yes, I said that. That might mess with you. That might freak you out. Listen, God brought walls to Paul, the greatest man in Christian history besides Jesus, the greatest man in Christian history. He brought him walls, and those walls were for his maturity. Those walls were for his edifying. Those walls were for his building up. Because God doesn't bring us walls to break us, but he brings it to build us, to build something inside of you. Because here's the thing, friends, you need some maturing. I know that's offensive. I know we're in 2022. You're ready to cancel me. I know that's offensive. But you need to mature, and God says, I love you so much, I hate for you to stay in infancy, and I want you to grow in greater maturity. And sometimes God brings us walls. Now, I need you to understand this. When I say that, I'm not saying God intends evil in our lives. The scriptures are very true to that. God does not intend evil. But there are just some things that God allows and permits. And the reason why he allows and permits it, because there's not one thing that gets past God without him knowing. But if it gets past God, guarantee this, if he permits it, it also has a purpose in it. Because there's nothing that's happening in our lives. God said, I saw it, guess what? And I got a purpose for it. And sometimes that purpose is meant to do a greater work in you. I brought you this wall. I brought you this difficulty. I brought you this thing so that you can grow. You got some growing up to do, church. Title of my message today is The Journey Through the Wall. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's life about the walls that we face. Because I said this before, the most important thing, the most important stage of your journey is how you embrace and approach the wall. It's how you embrace and approach the wall. So I want to talk about the wall in four different ways. Taking down notes. Who's taking down notes? You're going to heaven. Who's taking down notes? Yep, you. Heaven. All right, anyway. I'm going to talk about the wall in four different ways. Y'all know I'm joking, right? Like, relax. I'm not coming back here. So I'm going to talk about the wall in four ways. I'm going to talk about what is the wall, which we kind of already gone over, but we're going to go deeper. Number two, the purpose of the wall. See, I've noticed this. People don't mind pain if they understand the purpose, right? How many are workout junkies in here? Where's my boy Corey? Corey Holop is a workout junkie, loves the workout. He doesn't mind the pain because he understands the purpose. Doesn't mind how excruciating it may be, but there's a purpose behind this. So I've noticed this. People don't mind pain. They just hate going through pain without a purpose. I want to talk about the purpose of the wall. Number three, I want to talk about the results of the wall. But also number four, this is the most important one, I want to talk about how to get through the wall. So I got a lot to say today. So I'm going to talk, and it's going to be a lot, but I got you. You're going to be encouraged, and I guarantee that we're going to view our walls in a lot different way. Number one, let's talk about our first one. What is the wall? Well, again, we've talked about it. The wall, let me go a little bit deeper. The wall is that place where life is going well. You're moving, money's flowing, kids are happy, you're happy, job is secure, everything's going well, you're moving, you're doing just all these things, and then bam, life hits. Disappointment comes up. Situations just hit you, something you did not expect. And that wall, let me go a little bit deeper, that wall is that place you can't change. And it's the thing you can't control. And there's one thing that I hate, it's not being in control. I love being in control. It's that place you can't maneuver. It's that place you can't plow through because you're not strong enough. You're not experienced enough. You're not wise enough. The place is that, the wall is that place of great crisis, of chaos. And the wall can be anything. The wall can be a divorce or a breakup. The wall can be trouble in your marriage. The wall can be anything. The wall can be job loss, problems at your work, experience betrayal, being cheated on, being hurt, being lied to, somebody breaking your trust. That can be a wall. The wall can be church hurt. Some of us have been trying out different churches left and right. And the reason why we're on this journey of finding the right church is because we've experienced at a previous church. Because a leader or a pastor or somebody hurt you tremendously and it has impacted you. It has impacted you. That can be a wall. The wall is where your dreams are shattered. You had high hopes. And the thing you were hoping for, it never happened. It never happened. You were hoping and hoping, but it never happened. The wall can be trouble having children, which I've been through that one. I know what that wall's like. It's not a fun one. Or the wall could be you're having trouble with your children. Parents, I should get an amen. Amen. Listen, if you're a parent in here, you're having trouble with your children, guess what? That's a wall. That's a wall. You're trying to figure out how the heck do I change this kid? And I noticed this, that walls are meant to change us. Walls are meant to do a great work in us. And anything can be a wall. And then, as Peter Scarzario, the book that we're studying, Peter Scarzario will say that the effects of the wall, because of the impact, because of the pain, this is what it starts to create. Let's go through the list. You might identify with a few of them. I know it's getting really dark. I promise you there's encouragement in this message. I got you. Let's get through this. He says this. He says, the effects of the wall creates emotions and questions and great confusion of weariness. It creates a moment to where the person who is facing the situation starts to create the dark night of the soul. And I like that word because I'm a Batman fan. I like Dark Knight. Like, I'm a huge Batman fan. But in this predicament, I do not want that. But sometimes we experience that. And when we hit the wall, this is some of the things that happen, the emotions and the questions that we ask. Number one, you feel God is distant and deaf to your prayers. You ever had that before? Like, where is God in this? Like, God, I thought you said this. And if I did this, I thought you would hold up your end of the bargain. I used to think God was my personal assistant. Like, God, I'll do this, but you better do that too. I won't cuss for a week. I'll read my Bible every day. I'll go on the Bible app. But right now, in this moment, in this situation, this wall is creating a sense where I feel like you are distant and deaf to what I have to say. Maybe that's one of them. Maybe here's a second one. You feel a sense of darkness and helplessness. You're just always angry. You're just always angry, and you feel defeated. And you feel alone. You feel like no one can help you, or nothing can help you. Maybe you start to get to this. This is the one I identify with the most. You can't see the purpose behind what God is doing. You've been there before. Welcome to church. Listen, as a pastor, I've had those moments. People come up to me and ask me, why is this happening? I'll be like, bro, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what God is doing right now. And sometimes that's a place where it hurts. That's a place where it feels convicting and confusing and all these crazy things going on. You feel like you don't know what God is doing and you don't know the purpose in it. And then from all of those emotions, from all of those questions, it leads to point number four. You are beginning to doubt God is good. You know, the one thing that I've noticed when a lot of people walk away from faith, it's not the fact that God doesn't exist, it's that they haven't dealt with the emotions of their walls the right way. When I always hear people say, I don't believe in God. Oh, well, why is that? Well, you know, this and this proves this. And I'm like, yeah, I think it takes more faith to be an atheist than a Christian. Like, let's just be honest. And the reason why you have this emotion or to have this conviction, because you haven't dealt with your emotion. You haven't dealt with your emotion. You start to believe all those things. And then point number five, you ask yourself, when is all this going to be over? I know we went dark, y'all, but here's the encouraging part. We talked about what is the wall, and we gave definition to it. And there's a couple things I want you to know, and we already said it. One thing is, you can't avoid walls. We can't avoid them. They just happen. Walls are not the place where God is punishing you. Walls are the place where God wants to mature you. Wall is not the place where God is angry and God's like, listen, man, I'm done with you. Da, 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 da. Here's this. And he just walks away. No, walls are the place where God is going to do some of the best work in your life. And that's where we get to the purpose of the wall. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue to read the Apostle Paul. This is the part where I get excited. I'm already sweating. I'm about to sweat a lot more. These jeans about to get dark, y'all. Like, it's about to get nasty in here. So the purpose of the wall is my favorite part. My favorite part. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to continue to read the Apostle Paul, a great man of faith. A man who talks about his wins, but also his walls. And I want to talk about one of the walls that he faced in his life, both spiritually, but also physically. I want to read from the book of Philippians. Now, just to let you know, Philippians was written to a group of Christians that Paul, a church that Paul had founded. And in this letter, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of good things, but what's behind this letter is even better. Paul is writing this from a prison cell. Now, to give you a little bit of clarification, because some of you are probably asking, what did he do wrong? Just to let you know, Paul wasn't in prison because he was a criminal. He was in prison because Christians were harshly persecuted for their faith. And he was preaching the gospel and doing all these amazing things. He was growing the church, growing leaders, growing disciples, and then bam, he hits prison. And that's a wall that God brought in his life. But I love Paul's attitude as he's facing this wall. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. It says this. Pop it up on the screen. He says, now I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Just to give a little context, Paul's also writing this letter for the sake that he's thanking the church for a gift that he was given from them. Now this gift, was it had a delay. His gift was for his welfare. This gift was for his to help him, because here's the thing, being in a Roman prison wasn't pretty at all. It was underground, it was small, he was chained to another guard. Can you imagine having to use the bathroom, being chained to somebody else? Like, it's really weird. He's in this prison, he's in this darkness, he's smelly, he's stinky, and this gift that they want to give him, it's been taking a while. We don't know how long, we just know that there's a delay. Just like a lot of us, we don't know how long or what's going on, because there's this delay going on in our lives. And Paul is facing that, so he's thanking them for this gift. But verse 11 is where it all changed. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, I'm not saying this out of need, for I have, say it with me, learned. And y'all didn't say it with me convincing enough. Y'all got to wake up. He says, for I have, say it with me, learned to be content regardless of my circumstances. Verse 12, go to the next one. Go to the next one. I know how to live humbly. I know how to abound. I am accustomed to any and every situation. Some of your Bible says, I've learned the secret to being content, to being filled, to being hungry, to having plenty, to having need. And here's one thing Paul wants you and I to know. In every situation, in every season, in every stage, verse 13, the most misinterpreted verse in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul says this, God gave me this wall so I can learn some things. Now, notice this. When somebody says they learned something, that means before they didn't have it, right? If I came up to you and say, hey, I learned about this new exercise, or I learned about this new hobby, that means before I learned it, I didn't have it. So Paul's saying this, God brought me to this wall so I can learn some things in me, so I can learn what's missing, so I can learn what's absent, so I can learn what needs to be repaired, so I can learn what needs to be revived, so I can learn what needs to be restored. God, he says, God brought me to this place for a reason, and for this reason and this reason alone, so that I may learn to be content. I find it interesting that Paul says, my situation hasn't changed, but I've changed. Isn't that awesome? He says, my situation hasn't changed, but there's something new and different about me. But my situation is still here. I'm still in this prison as I'm writing it. I'm facing death. He's not just in prison for 30 days. He's not just serving a small, no, he is facing death. And Paul says, I got here so I can get to a better place internally. Paul says, I got here because I was lacking some things, and God brought me to this wall so I can learn some things about me. And I believe that's the same thing God wants to do in our lives, to bring us to these walls so that we may mature and grow and learn new things. God loves us so much, friends. He doesn't want us to stay in the infant stages, because every baby must become an adult. God wants you to grow up. And here's the thing, the stages of difficulty, the stages of walls is where we begin to grow. And I find it so crazy that Paul learned all of this behind walls. Life was going good for Paul. Paul was moving and grooving. Paul was hustling and bustling. Paul was doing all these things. And then next year, you know, everything stopped. And here's the thing, friends, sometimes I've learned God brings us walls so we can slow down. So we can slow down. So we can listen and hear his voice. Because we can't hear his voice all from what's going on in the world. But God brings us to walls so we can slow down. God removes things from our lives so that he can come into our lives and so that we can be transformed from his love. God wants us to slow down. And I can just imagine Paul sitting in prison. I can just imagine him. And he's probably praying, God, take this away, just like you and I do. God, get me out of here. God, let this go. I don't want to be here. I got good things I got to do out there. But I can almost see God telling him, but I got great things I want to do in you in here. This wall, Paul, is for your good. This wall, Paul, is for your better. And I believe God wants us to have the same experience as well. And I want to talk about three things about why God brings walls, or what's the purpose of the difficulty in our lives. I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Number one, God brings walls so we can remove some things in us. I love one pastor says this, you can never fully live for God unless you die to some things. And God wants you to die to some things. There are some habits, there are some things that are going on in our lives that God wants you to remove. And it's only at the place where we feel the darkest, when we feel the most desperate, where God begins to speak the loudest, and he begins to fill us with grace and truth. Notice grace and truth. He says, I love you, but this thing has to be removed from you. And I've been facing on my own walls lately. I'm not going to tell you because we're being recorded and I don't want to go on live. But I've been facing my own walls and I've realized God wanted me to remove a judgmental attitude. Always looking and pointing at other people. God wanted me to remove the prideful attitude. Because God is all about you and I being humbled. Because he can use you when you're humbled. I've had to realize so many things that God wanted to remove in our lives. And it's when we sit and listen and hear from God. Saying, God, you can't move. I'm sorry, this wall isn't moving. But I want to see what you're doing in me. God, I want this to go away. But I know even more you want some things to go away in me. You see that? God, I know. We prayed this prayer and we've been here. And before God can remove the wall, he wants to remove the walls of your heart. Before God removes the walls, he wants to remove the walls of your heart. Maybe number two is where you're at. Maybe God wants to repair some things. God wants to repair some things. And maybe before you go to this next stage, maybe before he elevates you, maybe before he graduates you, maybe before you get to that next stage, he wants you to look in the past and to see some things are still broken and messed up. Maybe he wants you to heal that little boy that faced that trauma back then. Maybe he wants you to heal that little girl that faced that chaos from back in the day. Because that little boy and that little girl is still present in your adult life today. And the reason why you're angry and the reason why you feel disappointed and the reason why you have all this attitude within you is because you haven't completely healed from what happened to you. Maybe God brought you to the place so you can slow down, so you can look back. So you can look back. And be like, oh man, I haven't completely forgiven my father. Let me go back and do this work. All right, this happened to me. Have we completely forgiven this? Have we completely let it go of that? But God loves you way too much to have you move forward with a sour heart. With a sour heart. Or maybe number three, God wants to revive things within you too. See, just as much as God wants to remove things, I believe God also wants to replace some greater things in you. I believe the wall for a lot of us is the place where we find our greatest gift. I believe the wall is the place where we find our momentum. I believe the wall is where we find our uniqueness, where we find our true selves. I believe the wall is that place where we say, this is who God has called me to be. I'm going to be faithful to live this out. I'm going to be faithful to walk in this. God has shown me, even in the darkness, my real me, my true me, and I can detach and I can remove myself from the things that I thought that I said I was. I can remove myself to what people said that I was, and I can continue and live forward to who he has called me to be in my life. Maybe the place of the wall is the place where you find yourself and who God has called you to be. Maybe this is the place where God has called you. So the purpose of the wall is for maturity. But here's the thing, friends. If we never have the right perspective, we're always going to be confused by the pain. We're always going to be blinded by the hurt. But if we would receive it as a gift, our lives will be transformed forever. Listen, we may not like how it's packaged, but what's inside is greater. The gift of the wall is for my building up. The gift of it. And then Peter Scarzario says, this is the stage of life where God begins to do an inward work in you. Again, God is moving some things, moving some pieces, taking things out, replacing things from within. And now he talks about that once you go, once you understand the purpose of the wall, you eventually, friends, will get through the wall. Now, I need you to understand this. We will get through these walls because it's not us who gets through them ourselves, but it's God who brings us through them eventually. By his grace, by his mercy, and by his timing. Because if God brought you the wall, he'll be the one to bring you through it as well. Right, if God said, hey, here you go, guess what? My hand hasn't left you from the beginning, and I'm going to get you through this. And once you get through this, oh, friends, on the other side is a new and greater you, an upgrade, and listen, an iPhone 14 you. There is a greater, different you on the other side. But once you understand the purpose of it, then you will realize and see the results of the wall. That's the next one, the results of the wall. That's when we get to the other side. That's when we eventually come through it. And Peter Scarsario says that there's a deeper sense that you have within yourself and that you have with God as well. He talks about it in four different ways. He talks about the first one, probably one of my favorite ones. He says you live with a greater level of brokenness. Now, I need to explain this. One of the things that has gotten me in trouble is that I have been blind and absent to my imperfections. Can I just be honest with you? One of the reasons why I have gotten myself in trouble is because I haven't been aware of my brokenness. And what happens is the wall, once you get over it, you begin to recognize and understand where you fall short. And friends, that's a good place to be. It's a good place to know where you're broken. It's a good place to know where you fall short. It's a good place to know where you're flawed, because that's the place where you say to yourself, I need a savior. I need grace. I need God. See, the wall is meant to expose our deeper dysfunctions. But God doesn't want you to live in a place of self-condemnation. He wants you to live from a place of self-awareness. Because when we have a greater self-awareness, we can have the ability to establish greater disciplines. I need to be aware that I got an anger issue. And that's why I need Jesus. I got to be aware that pride seems to come out more than my credit card. And I got to be aware of this. I got to be aware of some things. I want to live with a deeper sense that I am broken, but it's not for the sake so God can condemn me, but it's for the sake so God can give grace through me. So I can receive this grace and I can receive this mercy, but also I can have a greater self-awareness so I can establish some greater disciplines in my life. I believe that that's a great place to be in our lives today, that we know and realize where we're broken. Point number two, he says, on the other side of the wall, he says, we have a greater appreciation for a holy unknowing, the mystery. Now, I got to explain this one, because some of you are reading this like, what? There's going to be times where you won't know what God is doing. There's going to be moments where you're going to question God. There's going to be moments we're going to doubt him. And help me, let me bring you to ease. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. That's a great place to be, let me say that. You're like, well, how is that, Pastor? Because guess what? If God is bringing you to a place where you have no idea what he's doing, once he's faithful to bring about what he's always wanted to do in the first place, your confusion turns into joy. And you're saying to yourself, man, I thought God didn't know what he was doing, and I thought God was absent, and I thought all this was going to fail. But God showed me that he's greater, better, faithful, more than I ever could imagine. So God brings us to a place where we don't know what he's doing, and that's a good place, because I can tell you right now, if God always operated in a way that made sense, then that wouldn't make him God. That would make him like you and me. And if God is just a man, we are in trouble. God is infinite. God is in charge of the smallest molecules that are literally going on right now that you and I cannot see, to the cells in our bodies, to the one who makes sure every hair on our head is growing, to the one who makes the sunrise and the sunset. That same God is literally set apart from us. So there are just going to be some things we will not know on this side of eternity. And friends, if God always operated in a way that made sense, it wouldn't make and take faith. If God always laid out the blueprint to you, you wouldn't need to trust him in the beginning. Because I'm the type of person, I'm like, all right, God, tell me what you're doing. Tell me how you're going to do it. Tell me when you're going to do it. Tell me who you're going to do it through. Tell me when it's going to be over. Come on, am I right, y'all? We do all of those things, and God says, listen, I don't want to operate in my relationship with you like that. I want you living in the mystery, knowing that I'm working even when you can't see it, that I'm moving in places that you don't know about. There are things that are working out that you have no idea that I'm doing, and it's good to live in that place. It's good to know that. People come up to me and ask me, like I said before, why does God do this? I don't know. But I know that he's up to something. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out for me. I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why this is going on. But he's working. But he's doing something. And guess what? In that working and in that something, you would sit back and be like, ooh, God is good. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have tasted and you have seen that you what you thought was impossible, God actually made possible in your life. And you would have a deeper faith in him and a greater trust for him in you. Sometimes there's some things we don't know what's going on. And I've noticed this too. And this might sound contradictory. The more I have confusion, the more I know God is working. The more I know God is going to be good. In places where I can't solve and my theology isn't working and I can't connect the Bible verse to what God is doing, I'm sitting back, you know what? That means God's got some great, great things coming for me. God's got some great things coming for us today. In that wall that we are facing, God's got some great things. Number three, another good one. I love all these points. Let me just say, I said I only like a few of them. I like all of them. He says, you live or you have a greater, deeper ability to wait on God. Now, I hate waiting. I hate waiting. Thank you, Tony. Only one alive today. I hate waiting. Listen, you put me in traffic, I'm a totally different man than you see up here. I am throwing up some gang signs and saying some things. I got a brother in the back like, amen. Amen. I hate waiting. I start screaming at traffic, and I start saying, how long? How long? Like, let's go. We got to keep moving. And I realize it's only been 30 seconds. But let's go. And sometimes I have that same conversation with God. Like, let's go. Let's get moving. Let's get to this next place. I've been here long enough. One pastor says this. If God still has you there, he says there's still some more dirt to get out. I love that. He says, if God still has you there, there's still some more work that needs to be done in your life. So you got to realize waiting is part of the process. Waiting is part of what we are called to do. We are waiting because we know God is working in and through our lives. We know God is working for us, but most importantly, God is working through us, and there's beauty in the waiting. I know it sounds contradictory, but there's beauty in waiting for God. And what's the benefits of waiting? Because sometimes I believe God brings us in a place where we have to be still so we can have more of him. So we can have more of him. Because waiting creates intimacy. Waiting creates intimacy. Intimacy with God. Waiting also prepares us for what God has for us. And before God can give us it, he's got to remove, like I said before, remove some things in us. And before he blesses us with it, he will revive and restore and repair some things so that when you get it, you're going to have a greater appreciation and you can steward it a lot better. I've realized that when my wife and I went through our infertility, what I realized when my wife and I went through our years without having children, God was literally removing some things in me. So that now that I have children, I'm better prepared for it. That deserves an amen. Now that I have children, because God brought me through that wall, I'm not a perfect man. Like, I got my own issues, but I can tell you right now, if God gave me what I wanted back then, I wouldn't be ready for it back then. But never since that I've been waiting, we're talking about waiting. And waiting, failed, test after failed, test, failed procedure. And God says, guess what? As you are going through this wall, I'm also breaking down walls in you. So when I give you the gift, you will be much more prepared for it. That's what the waiting does. That's what the waiting does in us, friends. You might find it unnecessary. But God says, it's totally, totally working in your favor. There's something about waiting on God. There's something about growing patient. There's something about sitting still before him, waiting on his promise on the other side. And point number four, this is my last point because we got to finish. I'm like 5 minutes over. It's already 12 o'clock. I got to get you guys out of here. It's crazy. Sorry, I had a lot to say. Thank you. Only Christians in this room. Anyway, you begin to live with a greater detachment. Did you notice what Paul said in verse 10? He says that, I'm thankful that you gave me this gift. I'm appreciative of that gift. And he says this next verse, because I focused on what he learned, but I've also didn't focus on what he said he didn't need. Watch this. Paul says, I'm thankful for the gift. I appreciate you gave it to me, but I didn't need it. He said, I didn't need it. And if I'm reading this as a church, because they would sit down and read this together, I'd be like, well, Paul, give it back then. If you don't need it, if you don't need the gift, give it back. But what Paul was trying to say was, ever since I've been in this wall, I've learned not to depend on people and things to give me joy, to give me fullness, to give me happiness. Because my fullness and my joy and my happiness, it's in Christ, friends. Sure, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I smell. Sure, I'm without. But guess what? Christ is with me and Christ is for me. And he realizes that in that moment, in the wall, I don't need you. And nor do I need things because I got Christ. He wasn't saying that to be mean to them. Believe me, he was very appreciative. He said, thank you. You got to read that part. But he also wanted them to know, I didn't need that gift because God is my greatest gift. Christ is my greatest gift. There is no gift that I treasure more than Christ. And I didn't learn that until I got here. And it took for me to be in this wall. It took for me to be in this place to know God is my greatest treasure. I don't need anything else. And he's the one who will supply every one of my needs. Keep reading. He's going to say that in just a little bit in Philippians. He realizes. And I've never noticed how detached I am to things until God takes it away. You ever lose your phone? Babe, what? Can't find my, you ever lose the remote? You are tearing up the house. Come on, y'all. Then you realize your toddler threw it behind the couch. Anybody had a toddler do that? Oh, my gosh. Isn't it so annoying? Annoying. You have to, like, hide it. You have to, like, put it on the ceiling so they can't reach it. It's ridiculous. But you never realize how attached you are to things until God takes it away. And here's the thing. God said, I took it away so I can remove some things and take some things out of you. So that you wouldn't find your security and find your identity in the things that you have, but you would find it in the God that created you. And the God that saved you to live with a greater detachment. So we talked about all these things. I got to wrap it up. Talked about all these things. So how do we get through the wall? How do we get through the wall? Well, I believe Jesus gives us the greatest example for that. And I believe the way to get through the wall, and I need you to realize this, getting through the wall isn't so God can make you happy. It's so God can make you free. It's not to get through it so you can be happy again, so you can be free even more. Because Christ died not to make you happy. Christ died to make you free. Christ died to make you free, to detach yourself from the things of this world and be more inclined to the things of his word. Jesus gives us a great example because you know Jesus faced some walls. You know Jesus went through the wilderness. You know Jesus was betrayed by his friends. You know Jesus, even his own family, couldn't even understand him. Jesus faced his own walls. But one of the greatest walls we see he faces is the wall where he faces before the cross. I love that Jesus gives you and I a great way of how we can get through it. It says this in Matthew 26, verse 39. Bring it up for us. It says this. It's the same night where Jesus is going to be betrayed and go to the cross. He says this. Going a little further, he fell face down and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will. But what does he say? Say what it says. As your will. Jesus gives us the greatest example of how to get through it. And the one thing we can know is to submit. Submit. I love that Jesus goes to God, and even in the midst of his prayer, Jesus is like, listen, I have this real sorrow in me. But here's the thing, I want to ask you, if this can be removed, remove it. And sometimes we gotta pray those prayers, and those are good prayers to pray. We ask those things because those are the things we are expecting and thinking and God can do in our lives. But the end of that prayer is most important. Yet not as I will, but as your will. Pretty much just, God, have your way. Have your way before me, but also have your way in me. Have your way. I'm done fighting with you, God. I'm done trying to move your arm. I'm done trying to manipulate and maneuver.
but God, have your way. Friends, to get through the wall is to say and remind ourselves, God, have your way. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. But the effects of it are even better. The benefits of it are even better. Friends, we would live freely. We would live more freely if we tell ourselves, God, have your way. So I want to say this prayer before we leave. This is the prayer where you just say to God, God, I may not want it here, but I know you want to change me. And I know the way you change me is in the walls that are in front of me. It is in the walls that are in front of me. So God, have your way. I'm not asking you to change the situation anymore. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm not asking you to change my circumstances. I'm asking you to change me through my circumstances. I'm asking you to expose and to illuminate the darkness that is in me so that light can live through me. I'm asking for that today, friends. This is the freedom that we are desiring. It is in submission to his will and to his way, saying, God, listen, if it's not going anywhere, then do something in here. And do something right here. Because I notice this, if it's still here, you still have more work to do through me. A lot of us are facing walls today. A lot of us are in the midst of some difficulty. And maybe it's still there because God still has some work to do in you. That's my message. That's my message, friends. Maybe that wall is there because God still wants to get you through some things in you. Say a prayer. Father, help us today. Walk with us. Lead us. God, we're not here to ask you to change the situation. We're not here to ask you to change people, but I am here to ask you to change me. And if, God, the greatest change that happens in me happens to be in this wall that is in front of me, this difficulty that I'm facing, then, God, have your way. Have your way. Because I know you're going to be faithful to get me through this. But I also want to know that you're going to be faithful to do a greater work in me. So, Lord, have your way. God, it burdens me, but I know that this is here to build me. God, it is frustrating me, but I know that you are forming something new in me. God, it is making me angry, but I know you are making me new. God, it is making me feel that you are close, but it's actually at the wall when I realize you're closer than I ever thought, never knew. So renew within me, restore within me. And do some things that need to be done, God, and I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will wait on you. Say that to yourself, church. I will wait on you, Lord. I will wait on you, Lord. I will not try to move, but I will wait so I can experience greater intimacy, so I can experience greater purifying within me. I will wait on you. Jesus' perfect name is who we pray. Amen.
What a wonderful message. If you all would please stand with us one more time as we close out the service and worship.
And I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can see the road in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between Jesus, he who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in this space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the water holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
Christ Church, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us online. We love each and every one of you. God bless you. Have an amazing week.